There's long been a debate as to whether a phenomenon called blindsight exists. And joining me now is Associate Professor in Psychology, Tony Rowe from Rice University in Texas, who leads the research into blindsight. Hello, Professor Rowe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
First of all, can you tell us what is blindsight?
Blindsight is a phenomena that's been measured in patients who have brain damage, as well as in normals who don't have any brain damage but claim the inability to see certain things. But nonetheless, in both of these types of cases, these patients and people are able to actually discriminate and perform at above chance level. So even though these people report not seeing anything, if you probe them to guess, they're able to guess at above chance levels, can discriminate between shapes, sometimes colors, direction of motion and location of objects, even though, again, they claim not being able to see these items.
When was it first discovered?
It was first reported in the early 70s by two different groups, one in Germany and one in the United Kingdom at Oxford, in a couple of different cases of patients. In the reports in Germany, the phenomena was described as these patients, even though, again, reporting not being able to see anything, these patients were able to make eye movements and look at the locations of where these objects were presented, even though, again, they said they didn't see it. And in Oxford, in about a year later, in 1974, there were reports of patients who were able to discriminate shapes of items, again, location of or positions of information. Again, in patients who were reporting not being able to see these things, but still were nonetheless able to report these attributes of these visual properties.
Were the patients themselves aware of this before they were tested?
No, they were not, actually. That's the interesting aspect of this phenomena. The reason why it's referred to as blindsight is because the patients actually report being completely blind. They state that they can't see anything at all whatsoever. But again, if you probe them enough and in adequate ways, they'll be able to perform at above chance levels. And very strikingly, so do the patients. The patients actually don't realize whatsoever that they're performing at these above chance levels. They really have this impression that they're guessing more or less all the time. Now, there's actually been a debate more recently and a clear distinction that may be coming out in the literature where some patients actually do have this reported sense of feeling, of awareness. But in most cases, when patients do start being able to notice that they're able to detect information, it's typically in cases where patients have had their brain damage for a long time and are recovering some of their residual abilities, perhaps.
Does this phenomena occur in people who are congenitally blind?
The evidence for that is not as strong as in cases where the patients have had brain damage and have acquired blindness later in life. In congenitally blind cases, there are various different causes for the blindness, including deficits in the retina or at very early stages of visual processing. And in those cases, the phenomena does not exist because it's been shown through a number of direct as well as indirect measures that the blindsight phenomena tends to take place from visual processing mechanisms within the brain. So the information has to get into the brain somehow to have this blindsight ability. So in cases of congenital blindness where the blindness is due to a very early processing deficit, like in the retina, then in those cases the deficit wouldn't be observed.
Now, tell us a bit about your research, because you've found a special way of testing these patients, haven't you?
That's right. So I've been testing both patients who have had brain damage to their visual centers of the brain, and I've also been employing a technique that's referred to as transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. And what TMS does is it allows me to induce a very temporary brain dysfunction in order to mimic what patients who have brain damage in the visual centers are functioning like. So using TMS, I can produce blindness very temporarily in people and look at how their vision is processed during those moments of blindness. And what I've been finding is that, like in patients who have brain damage to their visual centers, these subjects who I induce temporary blindness using TMS also show this blindsight ability. So they can discriminate colors even though they're temporarily blind at extremely well and high levels. far above chance. They can also discriminate orientation of lines. And I've also been demonstrating that they can also produce accurate eye movements to locations where these visual information is presented, even though it's unaware to the subject. And recently, in a paper that's, I believe, just come out this month in the journal Neuropsychologia, I've also shown that in normal subjects, again, by inducing temporary blindness, I've demonstrated that these subjects can actually accurately reach out and point to locations, even though their visual processing is disrupted during this time of the TMS-induced blindness.
Would it be possible for these test subjects to actually learn to work with blind sight and use it to their advantage?
I believe we might be able to at some point. As soon as we get a better grasp on understanding the mechanisms that are involved, currently we're just trying to understand the brain areas that are supporting this phenomena. We understand now that certain visual centers are active when this blind sight phenomena is occurring, and if we can learn how to enhance the processing in these other visual centers, that might allow us to exploit these other brain areas to overcome the blindness that subjects report and allow them to function very adequately, albeit perhaps unconsciously, as this blind sight phenomena seems to be producing.
So what's actually next in line as far as research is concerned?
There's a lot of different avenues to explore. One is an actual direct applied type of study where we might be able to train these blind areas in subjects by repeatedly exposing those blind regions of the field to different types of visual stimuli. So it's sort of like an enhanced training program that may allow visual restoration to take place. There's also a lot of basic studies that need to be done, probably even before those types of studies take place, the rehabilitative, restorative types of studies take place, where we just need to get a better understanding of what's going on in the brain when this blind sight phenomena is occurring. So currently we're doing some functional magnetic resonance imaging studies, or fMRI studies, measuring brain activity, both in patients who have brain damage, as well as in neurologically normal participants, where we are looking at how different visual information is processed in different portions of the brain, and that might lead us to better clues as to how to tailor these rehabilitative procedures to allow those who have had affected vision see better.
Do you think this is where the myth of a sixth sense has come from?
I don't think that there is any sixth sense. We have these five senses that we're well aware of, but we don't understand all aspects of these different senses, and I think blind sight is exactly one aspect of the visual sense that we don't really understand that thoroughly, and further investigations will allow us to understand vision in a lot more detail that would then allow us to get a better understanding of the blind sight phenomena as well as the visual sense in general.
Well, it's a very exciting field and much to learn still, but for now, Professor Tony Rowe, thank you very much for talking to us on Insight Radio.
Thank you for having me.